You might remember we did speak to Professors John Dwyer and Leslie Russell on a new report called Australia's Oral Health Tracker. And as predicted, there were quite a number of responses, some quite amusing. One person was terrified of Mrs. Marsh. We played that grab from the 70s and her piece of chalk, talking about the need to brush your teeth. Others said that almost the entire blame for the state of our teeth is sugar. And many of you shared some horror stories about having all your teeth removed. One was from a dentist who challenged, as he put it, some of the misconceptions, as he saw, that were presented, which needed to be corrected or addressed. That dentist is Acting Professor Mark Shifter, who's head of Department of Oral Medicine and Oral Pathology and Special Care Dentistry at the Westmead Centre for Oral Health. And we invited him to join us. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Now, you're not denying that there's a crisis in dental health in this country, but I think you believe, and that its impact on the public, but I think you believe there were broader reasons for that than we presented. So here's your chance to outline them, please.
Thank you so much indeed. Look, I just wanted to take the opportunity to clarify a little bit about the biology of the major dental diseases, particularly dental decay or caries and periodontal disease. Both of these diseases are classic biofilm diseases. So what that means is that the bacteria have effectively become an ecological system that's incredibly adherent to the tooth surface, and therefore the mandatory requirement to deal with this disease is for people to brush their teeth. The critical issue we have now is if you have a population that's ageing, or, for example, more importantly, a population increasingly with special needs that are keeping their teeth, the real issue is going to be someone has to clean the teeth.
Mm.
And you can appreciate, any of you who have had children, how difficult it is to clean somebody else's teeth. If the teeth aren't cleaned, they can't be maintained. There's also a misconception that providing a restoration, a filling, in some way fixes the problem. All you're doing is repairing the damage that's already been done. But because you're introducing now another material into the tooth, that's going to be another site where the tooth, repaired tooth substance, interfaces with the actual tooth. And again, that's a site where you go risk of recurrent decay. So all you're doing is delaying the inevitable by putting a filling in if the tooth is not being regularly cleaned. So that applies to dental decay. Similarly applies to periodontal disease. In this case, the biofilm disease makes its way down the surface of the tooth onto the root surface of the tooth, and this evokes an inflammatory response from the body. That inflammatory response in time causes loss of bone, and the tooth eventually becomes very mobile and even falls out.
So it's I see what you're saying. There are labour, there's really care and labour issues here that as the population ages, we haven't fully faced.
That's exactly the problem that we face. The critical issue, I think, it can be summarised in a fairly somewhat pithy way, a bit unfortunate in terms of framing or words, but the critical issue is we have never in Australia's history more people living in Australia but who are keeping their teeth. But let's now frame that in the population who are keeping their teeth. They're much older, they're much sicker, they're much frailer, and there's an expectation of people that they can keep their teeth from the cradle to the grave. The trouble is teeth left in place, particularly the lower molar teeth. If you get an infection with those teeth, that can be a very serious problem. It can be even lead, and this is extremely rare in our country with the advent of antibiotics, but there are cases where people have succumbed to dental infection.
So this is where the whole emphasis on flossing and so on comes in, I take it.
Absolutely. So the critical issue keeps coming back to the fact at the end of the day is someone cannot pick up a toothbrush to clean the surfaces of their teeth, that tooth is ultimately going to be condemned. The critical issue is going to be we then have to take teeth out. So we have an ageing, sicker, frailer population taking more medication than they've done before, and somebody has to provide surgery to these patients because it is a form of surgery. The commonest form of surgery in patients or the population above the age of 65 is a dental-related procedure, generally a tooth extraction, but increasingly an implant placement. And to give you an example of the issues we're facing in terms of the medications patients are taking, there are two adverse effects of the medication which are significant. The first is the medications make the mouth much drier. So without spit, you can't wash the bacteria away, but you can't neutralise the acids which are responsible for tooth decay. The second is some medications cause a very serious adverse effect, and that is osteonecrosis of the jaw, where parts of the jaw literally die following particularly dental extractions. So we have an ageing patient population who are going to require surgical intervention to maintain good oral health, and we don't have as yet a workforce that is appropriately equipped to deal with this.
But it does go then to the central point that Leslie Russell made, that there's this systemic gap between orthodox medicine and dental medicine. I mean, in a way, you're agreeing with her there.
I am agreeing with her there, but she made a comment at the end about people suggesting that the best way to cope with ageing would be for extraction of all the teeth. That's certainly not what...
Well, it was a joke comment.
Yes, it was. But I'm a serious person and I take this matter rather seriously. And I appreciate it was said in a humorous setting. But there is a case to be made for selective extraction of particular teeth at a certain age. So, for example, as people approach the ages from 80 through to 90, we need to be thinking about providing them a dentition that is sustainable and maintainable and limiting the need for surgical interventions such as extractions as much as possible. And there is an argument to be made. There is a certain number of teeth that we require for good function, for aesthetics, for maintaining occlusal harmony. But beyond that, these teeth become problematic in terms of trying to maintain, or the risk that occurs with providing surgery to extract those teeth when they become so decayed, the tooth is not sustainable or restorable.
And look, I think I might leave it there. There are a few other things which I've got a very interesting feedback from one of our listeners, Christine, who says her brother operates a health department mobile dental truck that he takes to special ed schools to care for children with physical and intellectual disabilities. And she says it'll take a special person to do such a job, and he is now 71 and about to retire and will be hard to replace, which I suppose is exactly your point.
It is my point. And unfortunately, we don't have enough replacement specialists in special needs dentistry to cater to that particular patient population.
Look, thank you very much indeed for your response.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Acting Professor Mark Shifter from the Westmead Centre for Oral Health.